On behalf of RSA and Carasoft, we would like to welcome you to today's podcast with Deputy Director Nitin Natarajan from the Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. The Deputy Director explains the importance of the public sector as it relates to cybersecurity. As the industry continues to move forward to address huge challenges the public sector faces, the partnership of organizations is more important than ever. After listening to this podcast, check out the Fireside Chat with Deputy Director Nitin Natarajan, where co-chairs for the Coalition of City CISOs continue the conversation with the Deputy Director.
My name is Michael Maxman. I'm the City Chief Information Security Officer for the City and County of San Francisco. And today, I have the pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker, Nitin Natarajan, who serves as the Deputy Director for the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity Information Security Agency. In this role, he supports the CISA director overseeing the Cybersecurity Division, the Infrastructure Security Division, the National Risk Management Center, and the Emergency Communications Division. His operational support responsibilities are to ensure a holistic approach to critical infrastructure protection across physical and cyber risk activities. Prior to joining CISA in February of 2021, Natarajan served as an executive at a consulting firm providing subject matter expertise on a variety of topics, including IT, cybersecurity, homeland and national security, critical infrastructure protection, environmental emergency management, continuity of operations, and health security matters. Deputy Director also held a number of federal government roles, including serving as a Deputy Assistant Administrator for the Office of Land and Emergency Management at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Director of Critical Infrastructure Policy at the White House National Security Council, and as the Director of U.S. Health and Human Services, overseeing their critical infrastructure, continuity of operations, and medical logistics programs. He also has experience working at the state and local government levels, especially relevant for our local government track. Deputy Director Nitin Natarajan started his career spending 13 years as a first responder in New York, including service as a flight paramedic. He was the commander of the Federal Medical Response Team based in New York and has extensive experience deploying to natural and man-made disasters throughout the nation. He holds an undergraduate degree from the State University of New York and a graduate degree from the United States Naval Postgraduate School. Welcome, Deputy Director, and thank you so much for taking time to present to all the local government cybersecurity leaders.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me here today, and thanks to the City Council of CISOs for inviting us here today to have an opportunity to talk with all of you and to stress the importance of public sector as it comes to cybersecurity as we continue to move forward together to address what is a huge challenge that we're facing today and will continue to face as we move ahead. As mentioned, my name is Nitin Natarajan. I'm the Deputy Director here at CISA at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency at DHS. So almost 3 months to the day since I came on board. So it's exciting to be here. And, you know, it's interesting to look back that it's only been 3 months. It feels like it's been longer at times, but also with a lot going on, both here in DC, but also throughout the nation and throughout the world on this very important topic. I know that the theme this year for the RSA conference is resilience. And this really hits home to me because it's really one of the things that we focus on here at CISA, both within the cybersecurity and the infrastructure security space, is how do we work together to build resilience across the nation and internationally with a lot of our partners around the globe. As a lead federal agency for protecting the nation's physical and cyber infrastructure, we're dedicated to enhancing the resilience of our nation's vital systems and functions. In these efforts, our job is to take on some of the biggest challenges facing both government and industry, from securing large federal networks to responding to incidents at private organizations to securing our election systems. When protecting these vital systems, we are challenged with managing risk in both the physical and digital world. And where it was once possible to really define these perimeters around a single system or a high-risk asset, we know that that's less possible and more challenging day-to-day, that nexus between the cyber and physical worlds have collided, and that those borders no longer exist. Though they also don't exist geographically. We know that issues domestically are not isolated to our nation, and that we need to work collaboratively around the world with partners in order to address these effectively. Nowhere in my mind is this more challenging over the past year than the cybersecurity issues that face our cities and towns around the country and face a lot of our state, local, tribal, and territorial partners. as we talk about often in the federal government, we'll hear folks talk about the SLTT, right? The state, local, tribal, and territorial partners. But having sat in some of those seats myself, I recognize that there's a vast difference between each of those, and they need to be treated individually because the challenges that they're facing, the nuances to a state government versus a local government versus a tribal government and a territorial government are different. And we acknowledge that here at CISA, and we want to work closely with all of our partners at all those levels to be able to meet the needs that all of you have and that we can work collaboratively to address this emerging threat landscape. While connectivity and technological innovations provided new opportunities for our cities and towns to provide essential services, such as our emergency services or public utilities, to the American public, emerging technologies have also provided new opportunities for our adversaries to leverage disruptive capabilities to target these vital services. To add to this concern, many of our state and local partners have unique challenges when facing cyber risks. We all want the best defenses, but money can be an issue, especially for state and local governments, constrained by smaller, limited operating budgets and fewer IT staff than similarly sized businesses. Cyber criminals know state and local governments are vulnerable, and they're exploiting those vulnerabilities on a daily basis. When it comes to particular threat tactics, ransomware is becoming an increasingly utilized tactic by malicious actors. Ransomware incidents can severely impact business processes and leave organizations without the data that they need to operate and to deliver mission-critical services. It's an epidemic. It's affecting cities, hospitals, schools, manufacturing, and other critical infrastructure targets that our nation's towns rely upon day in and day out. In 2019, the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center, or the MSISAC, reported a 153% increase in the number of reported SLTT government ransomware attacks compared to the prior year. We know that malicious cyber actors are going after these victims because they have both the means and, most importantly, the incentive to pay. I like to think about countering ransomware along three primary lines of efforts. The first, disrupting ransomware operations and their payment schemes. This is led by law enforcement agencies such as the FBI and Secret Service and the Department of Treasury. Second, taking the fight to the enemy. This requires our intelligence, law enforcement, diplomatic, and military communities working together. And third, hardening targets, making our systems more secure and resilient, which CISA leads. CISA's counter-ransomware initiatives, like most of our work, are designed to defend today and secure tomorrow. That means working collaboratively with our federal, state, local, and private sector partners to enhance the security of infrastructure against today's threats and to shape the strategic environment over the long term. In the case of ransomware, that means near-term efforts, such as sharing alerts on new ransomware campaigns like we did in collaboration with the FBI and the Department of Health and Human Services late last year when we had credible information about a threat to hospitals. It's providing best practices on how to prepare and respond to ransomware incidents, such as the guide that CISA and the MSISAC released last year, and our efforts to raise awareness of the threat and what everyone can do, such as our recently launched outreach campaign to reduce the risk of ransomware. Over the long term, we want to see what more we can do to evolve national level capabilities to block emerging types of ransomware and foster the market for scalable protective innovations. None of this is easy. And unfortunately, if the business model remains viable, we are unlikely to see a significant reduction in the activity from ransomware actors. Until then, we need to do everything we can together to reduce the likelihood that they are successful. Compounding the complexity of the increase of ransomware attacks, malicious actors are relentlessly exploiting vulnerabilities. These vulnerabilities may be introduced during any phase of the product lifecycle. This evolving threat is no more evident than in the recent cyber campaigns that have occurred over the past several months. In December, we were alerted of an ongoing cyber espionage campaign, most likely going on since September of 2019. A few weeks ago, the White House released a statement formally attributing the supply chain compromise to Russian foreign intelligence service actors. This compromise has targeted government and private sector organizations and has been found in the Orion versions of SolarWinds products. In addition to the attribution announcement on April 15th, CISA released a joint cybersecurity advisory with our interagency partners, alerting the public that Russian foreign intelligence service actors have been scanning for and exploiting vulnerabilities to compromise U.S. and allied networks, including national security and government-related systems. I encourage everyone tuning in today to go to our supply chain compromise site on CISA.gov for further information on these targeted vulnerabilities and take the necessary mitigation measures. In early March, we were alerted of another cyber campaign. CISA, along with our industry and federal interagency partners, disclosed previously unknown vulnerabilities in the Microsoft Exchange products. Successful exploitation of these vulnerabilities would allow an attacker to gain persistent system access and control of an enterprise network. The exploitation by a malicious actor could lead to severe consequences, such as the execution of a ransomware attack, physical damage to connected infrastructure, or worse. And just last month, CISA observed active exploitation of vulnerabilities in Pulse Connect Secure products, a widely used remote access solution. Successful exploitation of these vulnerabilities could allow an attacker to place malicious code on the appliance to gain persistent system access into the appliance operating in the vulnerable software. Given the severity of these threats, CISA responded swiftly in responding to these cyber campaigns and immediately issued an activity alert, providing the public further information on the vulnerability, further strengthened network security. CISA also issued an emergency directive in both instances that required federal, civilian, executive departments and agencies to take immediate actions to mitigate the known vulnerabilities. While only federal, civilian, executive branch agencies are required to follow our emergency directives, non-federal entities strongly encouraged to follow similar procedures to those described in the directives. CISA continues to work with our government, private sector, and international partners, making needed information and resources available to those affected may quickly recover from these incidents. These campaigns further highlight that our networks are on the front lines of attacks against our nation. In the face of this threat, it is essential we take a whole-of-nation approach to securing our digital networks. In these efforts, CISA has redoubled our focus on working with our partners across all sectors to help prioritize cybersecurity in their decision-making process, while also initiating partnerships and programs to foster innovation. In support of our state and local government partners, CISA offers a number of voluntary programs, services, and products, including cybersecurity risk management and resilience services and tools, technical assistance upon a request, and expanded information sharing capabilities to improve situational awareness of threats, vulnerabilities, incidents, mitigation, and recovery actions. Our technical services range from proactive vulnerability scanning to malware analysis. For example, our cyber hygiene service for internet-facing systems is an automated remote scan that provides a report identifying vulnerabilities and mitigation recommendations to improve the cybersecurity of systems connected to the internet. We also provide prioritized risk and vulnerability assessments for our critical infrastructure partners. These in-depth on-site evaluations include a system-wide understanding of vulnerabilities. CISA provides a full report of vulnerabilities and recommended mitigations following the testing. In addition to providing a menu of cybersecurity services to our partners, CISA prevents and disrupts criminal use of cyberspace by building stronger and improving intelligence information sharing. We work with the intelligence community, state and local governments, private sector entities, network defense, and law enforcement partners around the world to enable closer collaboration and, in the event of a crisis, rapid coordination. When CISA responds to or learns about an incident, like the recent cyber campaigns I mentioned earlier, we take the information we learn and share it with others so that they can protect themselves. Through the sharing and collaboration, we help to minimize the scope and consequences of attacks. In addition to these programs, the past year, we took information sharing with the general public further by releasing products known as CISA's Cyber Essentials and CISA Insights. CISA Cyber Essentials is a guide of actionable items that can help small businesses and government agencies understand and address cybersecurity risk. In addition to the essentials, CISA Insight products provide background on particular cyber threat and vulnerabilities that are being exploited, as well as ready-made set of mitigation activities that non-federal partners can implement. I would also like to highlight that many of the services CISA offers are provided for our regional staff. Within each CISA region, emergency communications coordinators and chemical security inspectors. Our regional staff are located around the country and support all 56 states and territories by providing a unique service to the critical infrastructure community and position owners and operators to enhance security capabilities through a wide range of initiatives. Through our regional staff, CISA is directly supporting owners and operators with tangible risk mitigation solutions. CISA regional staff can help organizations conduct free assessments to identify security vulnerabilities that may help with converging security operations. If you haven't worked with our regional staff yet, I encourage you to reach out to us and get connected with these members of your team. Through our role in providing voluntary services to our critical infrastructure partners, we directly support our state and local partners in protecting and building resilience into their infrastructure. But the partnership works both ways. Through the services we provide, we've gained a better understanding of where risks live within cyberspace, which has helped inform the development of improved products, guidance, and services. We need our state and local partners to continue to partner with us through our various programs so we can get a better understanding of their needs. Since I came on board a few months ago, one of the things that we focused on is how do we look at everything that we do through the eyes of our partners? How do we make sure that the products that we're creating, the activities that we're undertaking, the training that we're conducting, the exercises that we support are meeting the needs of our partners and that are providing value in helping to guide decision-making? They're helping to better inform decision-making at the state and local levels. So we want to continue to do that as we continue to enhance our partnerships, to build our partnerships, and to sustain existing partners. We've identified several key actions cities should implement in order to effectively defend against and reduce cyber threats. First, it is essential that organizations update software and operating systems with the latest patches. Outdated applications and operating systems are the target of most attacks. The importance of strong patch management has been a major takeaway from the recent cyber campaigns. Strong patch management practices can mitigate cyber adversaries utilizing vulnerabilities to their advantage. Backing up all critical information in the cloud or offline and testing your ability to revert to these backups is also a practice organizations must routinely adopt. Doing so will help mitigate consequences in the event that an attack does occur. The value of implementing basic cyber hygiene leads into my second key recommendation, which is the importance of educating staff on basic cybersecurity. Humans tend to be the weakest link in the security vulnerability chain, and users often do not understand the larger implications of their actions. I'm a firm believer people will click on anything. I'm also a firm believer if I'm going to get $1 million, it's not going to be via email. Poor password practices, clicking on unsafe URLs, opening attachments and unsolicited emails, and improper configuration are just a few human errors that lead to security threat, many of which could be mitigated. While it is important to hold your own staff accountable for their security practices, it's also critical to require your outside vendors to employ strong IT security. Outside vendors should be just as secure, if not more secure, than your own organization. It's important for you to communicate your concerns and ensure these vendors are monitoring the security of their hardware and software. While it is vital to educate current staff to effectively defend our nation's internet infrastructure, we must also look to the future and promote the growth and sustainment of our nation's cybersecurity workforce. As cyber threats continue to evolve, the nation's protection against them relies on a steady stream of qualified cybersecurity professionals entering the workforce. At CISA, we are committed to sufficiently training and educating the nation's future cybersecurity workforce, and we ask that you help us with this mission. The last key action I would like to touch on today is leveraging the resources and collaboration opportunities available to you. This not only includes the federal resources available to our state and local partners, but I encourage cities to join together and pool resources for cybersecurity. There are a number of colleges and universities within your cities as well with existing cybersecurity programs that can be leveraged. And I urge our state and local government partners to utilize them and other resources you have available. Whether we are collectively protecting our nation's buildings, our city's emergency services, or our local electricity and water company, we need a whole of nation approach to raise the security baseline for these critical services. We want to make sure that by continuing to collaborate across industries and the critical infrastructure community, raising the cost, time, and complexity thresholds for successful attacks to the point that they exceed the capabilities of even the most advanced threat actors. As we work to achieve this goal, we need your help. We encourage our state and local partners to tell us the problems you're facing and how CISA can assist with helping you solve those issues.
Thank you for listening to our RSA Public Sector Day podcast. If you would like more information on how we can assist your organization with cybersecurity needs, please visit www.carisoft.com/cybersecurity or email us at rsa@carisoft.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.